This is a HeadGum Original.
Mics are rolling. That means we have a show.
Let's punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Why you beat your punch it? Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. You're listening to Punch Up the Jam, the podcast in which we take the greatest hits of all time and we make them even greater. I'm one of your hosts, Evan Gregory.
I'm Andrew Gregory, your other host, and we are so happy this week to be joined by Annie Rowarda, who is the creator,
the proprietress,
the host of
Hunter-Gatherer,
the forager of one of my favorite, I think just one of the best Instagram and Twitter accounts out there, going the depths of Wikipedia. Thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I have been on Wikipedia so much in the last year since we started running this show. I just couldn't help but start sending you some of these things that I've stumbled across on my journey as host of the Punch of the Jam. So I was so excited you were in New York and that you were able to come in.
Yeah, it's great to see your whole like Williamsburg studio too. Is that, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah,
maybe I should give them the latitude and longitude while I'm at it.
You just doxed us to our fans. That would be supremely on brand for you, I would think, to establish latitude and longitude of our location, start giving a backstory on the building, full resume article about us. Our audience is really plugged into the podcast world, but maybe they're not aware of what you're doing on depths of Wikipedia, which to me is like prime internet, what you are doing. Can you give the elevator pitch to people so they know exactly what you're up to?
Okay, so I post funny or weird or interesting things that I find on Wikipedia. Some of them have more context than others. Like a recent post that I found endearing was like a photo on Wikipedia, and it's just a cat looking at some grass, but the caption is a cat looking at cat grass. Again, this isn't really that. I'm shocked that you're laughing because it's not a knee slapper, but it's just very endearing.
I don't know why it's funny, but it is.
It's cat grass.
I think I found you around the time a lot of people did, because this kind of like broke out of your immediate orbit and into the memosphere. You had a post this last spring about the earliest known bar joke.
Yes.
And the editor, whoever the blessed Wikipedia editor who edited it, it's like a bar joke that, like, we have the entirety of the bar joke. It's like an ancient Sumerian joke, but no one really knows what it means. And what was this? The editor wrote the sentence. It was just like so deep to the heart of the mystery of it. What was it?
Yeah. So I'll share that this Sumerian dog joke kind of penetrated the mainstream at the same time that I had a New York Times article and a New Yorker article. So pretty soon this like Sumerian dog was kind of carrying me to screens across America or across the world. But anyway, there was this bar joke found, and here's how they translate it. A dog walks into a tavern and says, "I can't see a thing. I'll open this one." That's the joke. You're like, wait, what? What about this is funny? And then you keep reading, and a Wikipedia editor writes, "The joke probably relates to the Sumer way of life. The humor has been lost, but the words remain." And people were losing their minds trying to find out why it's funny. They had all these theories, but sometimes you just have to accept that you will never know.
So many Sumerian scholars are flying in and editing that Wikipedia article now to be like, well, actually, perhaps it was a brothel and all this other stuff.
Right. Well, actually, this is an important point to note. I will also slip in that I'm the Wikipedian of the year in the media category. The big tenet of Wikipedia is that it's not about original research. You can't just like look outside, see like, oh yeah, there's a lot of bunnies out today, and then be like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, like on August whatever 20, there were a lot of bunnies. No, you can't do that. You have to have it first published in a reliable source, and then you can put it on Wikipedia.
Right.
But you're definitely right that the scholars start digging up these old like translations and being like, oh, well, this person interpreted it like this, and then, you know, there was an article about how it was a meme and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
All these people are trying to say they definitely know what it was, but like the truth is no one had it righter than that first mystical Wikipedia editor. The words remain.
The humor has been lost.
The humor has been lost, but the words remain. Thank you.
And all our little gags these days will someday be lost to time in the same way.
You know what? The Sumerian way of life is thousands and thousands of years ago. But it was only 15 years ago that Cascada released their hit, Every Time We Touch. And already, to me, the words have lost their meaning. I don't even know if these words remain 15 years later. I can't. I have just as much idea what they are talking about in this song as I do what the Sumerian dog was opening in the bar.
We were talking about you're a forager, you're a hunter-gatherer for strange facts, Annie, for strange
Wikipedia
articles, but you presented this to me almost as a fact that you consider this to be the perfect song.
I think it's perfect, yeah.
And it's not exactly my opinion on the song. It's really calling into question for me your objectivity that you think this is the perfect song.
Just personally think it's flawless. I think that the beat is amazing. I think that this song really transports me to 3 a.m. on a dance floor, whether I'm on a walk in the neighborhood, whether I'm, you know, on the highway going to some mundane errand. No matter where I go, when this song comes on, like, I just have to dance.
I admire the purity of your love for the song. I'm terrified that in this modern, earnest year, 2022, the year of our Lord, this will expose me as a hater. I don't think it's cool to be a hater anymore, but I think this song has at least one flaw.
Okay, well, first of all, the whole premise of this podcast is being a hater. Second of all, you can be a hater if you want, but I just think this one is perfect.
There's so much hate in this world. We have to rise above.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to rise above, Andrew.
The chorus. When the chorus drops of the Cascada song, will you find me on the dance floor? Will you find me on the dance floor? Sure. But I just can't get past the verse. And I feel a little bit like a hypocrite saying that. I always thought of myself as a lyrics first writer. And one thing that hosting this podcast has exposed to me is even though I think of myself as a lyrics first writer, like I know like the first couple lines to verses and like maybe not even the whole chorus. So like maybe this is crazy, y'all, but maybe the music is the most important part of music.
Wow.
I feel like I'm imagining a scenario where everyone's on the dance floor just having the time of their life. You're in the corner, like you know, shaking, like, but the lyrics aren't that good. That metaphor was a little bit forced. And then you finally realize, like, oh, wait, actually, maybe it's not about that. Like, maybe it's just about vibing. And then everyone's like, welcome. Like, we've been waiting for you.
Yeah. And then, I mean, if you're the person in the corner of the dance floor saying that, like, girls aren't going to like you. And if, frankly, if you're going to the club to listen to EDM, that's got to be at least one of the points on your agenda, is that eventually the dance floor will lead to larger romance in your life. Your nightlife will improve your day life. You'll settle down. You'll grow old together. Is that what this song
you're gonna,
is?
Yeah, you're going to turn to each other one day, and you're going to earnestly say it. You're going to say, your arms are my castle. Your heart is my sky. They wipe away tears that I cry.
And do you want to be...
Those are going to be my wedding vows.
And do you want to be settling down with a person who's over in the corner, pushing your glasses up your nose together, Scroogely being like, no, I don't know about the lyrics to this song.
Andrew, I want to start hitting playback because we cannot solve the problem of this song with our words. But will you just give us a little bit of context for how big is this big hit? How great is this greatest hit?
It's a huge hit in 2007. It hits the top 10 of the U.S. charts. It's at
and
the
it's
top
EDM.
Of the charts.
That's new.
Right.
Like, that's true. This is a pioneering...
Electronic dance music?
Electronic.
What
does EDM stand for?
Yeah, watch out, Eminem.
Yeah, guess who's about to hit the scene after this song? Lady Gaga. Pretty interesting, huh?
Case closed.
Things are about to change in the U.S. of A. And Cascada... I don't
Cascada,
know what that
Gaga,
is for.
Say no more.
Yeah.
The torch is being passed from like Cher, Do You Believe in Life After Love, to Cascada, and then like back to Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Madonna was in there, and I just think that, yeah, like a very like saccharine, like poppy, female led dance song is one of the most valuable things that we have in this day and age.
Honestly, the most shocking fact about this song to me, I knew Cascada was German. I knew this had come across the pond. And I think even though I don't really like the song, I had kind of like a forgiveness for it, that it's like, well, these are non-English speakers writing this. And the chorus for me holds together a little bit better. It's actually, they didn't write the chorus. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they didn't get any writing credit on this, which seems foolish to me. They wrote the verse. They wrote the beat. It seems like they could have made boatloads of money by having some writing credit on it. But the chorus is just like a re-recording of a song from 1992 by Maggie Reilly, a Scottish singer.
What?
And the three people who were in the band Cascada, DJ Manian, DJ Janu, and Natalie Horler, the weirdest fact to me wasn't that they, you know, just took the chorus from another song and made it a song. The weirdest thing for me is one of them is a native English speaker. Natalie Horler is German. She grew up in Germany, but her parents are British. And I kind of thought she should have said to somebody like, hey, let's just do a second draft.
So run this back for me.
Castles don't wipe away tears.
So they lifted the chorus from a song that was 10 years older, but wrote new verses. Is that what I'm 15
hearing? 15 years, yeah. Yeah, they wrote the verses. The verses are theirs. For some reason, they're not credited as writers. Maybe they were embarrassed. And the next thing you know, you have these really weird, clunky verses tacked onto what is a pretty sweet chorus. I'll grant you that, Ian.
I think it should be the national anthem. I think it would bring people together.
For Germany or the United States?
I think for honestly anywhere, but probably the U.S. I'm not a big national anthem girl. Like no disrespect to Francis Scott King here, but I just feel like the national anthem leaves a bit to be desired in terms of danceability, and I feel like every time we touch would really bring the country together.
What
for
would,
such a time as this?
I think you could go bigger. I think this could be a global
Jose,
anthem.
Can you see by the dawn's early light?
What would be amazing
global
about this
anthem.
As our national anthem is that
I think we're ready for pan global anthem.
When I think about the song, I think about the beat, and if it was the national anthem, you're going to get at least some a cappella versions done like incredibly earnestly out of time by like our nation's top singers, like Jennifer Hudson before the Super Bowl, singing this out of tempo, just full of melismas.
Every time we touch,
that's a jet flyover. There's a jet flyover at the end with just booming cannons.
Sure. That was a gong.
The jets
for no
are
reason.
Really flying over, huh?
I had a gong for no reason. Yeah. And the crowd loving it.
So let's hear it. Let's hear our national anthem, Evan. With the perfect song, according to Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in the first verse, well,
this song changed my life. 2006 was like the first day of the rest of my life when I heard this song.
Yeah, things were dark before that.
BC era, before Cascada. I don't really like to talk about it.
And then AEWT, after Every Time We Touch. Uh-huh. And then your life sounded like this.
Yeah.
I still hear your voice when you sleep next to me. I still feel your touch in my dream.
Okay, I'm missing you.
Forgive me my weakness, but I don't know why.
I like these halftime drums here.
Without you, it's hard to
This sounds so AI generated.
The lyrics are written by a bot, right?
It's like you put a bunch of pop songs into like GPT-3 and they're like, I still hear your voice when you sleep next to me. I still feel your touch in my dreams.
Is he there or not? She can't survive without him, but he's right there next to her in
the bed.
It's
just one of those eternal mysteries, okay? It's a Sumerian dog again.
The first half of the sentence doesn't go with the back half. It should have been, hear your voice in my dreams, feel your touch when you sleep next to me. They mucked it all up. It doesn't make any sense to me. I get the feeling of the verse is I'm missing you and I want to be near you.
But I might already be near you.
But I might already be near you because you're sleeping next to me, right?
Where is this man? Where? I don't know. Does she know? Does Natalie Horler know?
Is he a ghost? I feel like the answer of the EDM songs is almost always there. It could be a ghost.
The meaning is part of the Cascada way of life and has been lost, but the vibes remain.
The vibes do remain. You got to forgive him the horrible verses, because the verse is only to establish the like rising action, the slow crescendo to get to the hook, which is just where we've arrived.
The true vibes. Here are the vibes. Because every time we touch...
Just right into it, man. 30 seconds to the chorus.
The bass sounds almost like a kick drum. The kick drum sounds almost like a bass. I mean, I don't like the song. I can't deny the beat.
He's already conceding points.
In 2006, the venerable New York Times called that beat a, quote, jackhammer. so true. They got it right.
Man, I appreciate, as an editor, you're going to the primary source.
Yes.
I'm still feeling secondary. Just cut to the quick over here, though, that you went to the heart of the matter, that this whole podcast is about hating. I'm really...
I do a lot of
self-examination over here right now.
This podcast is about analyzing and understanding...
An unexamined life, et cetera, et cetera.
Is not worth living.
Yeah.
I hate her, but you know, it's true. I don't like the song.
Some songs are better left unexamined, kind of like the lyrics of Every Time We Touch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like to examine this song with my pelvis.
Maybe I just got to lean into the music. I got to lean into accepting that the music is the important part of the music. And if this song comes on, I'm not going to be over in the corner. pushing my glasses up in my nose, thinking about the lyrics. I'm gonna be shaking my hips, reaching for the sky. Now, have you seen the video to this song?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
I've found it to be almost Jungian, dare I say Freudian. That you're famous for. You're the Wikipedia of the year. You're the Wikipedia of the year.
For librarian type behavior.
You're famous for librarian
type
behavior.
And yet this music video commits some crimes.
It's about destroying a library. Natalie Horler's just ripping the cards out of the card catalog. The librarian is furious. She's in love with him. But guess what? When she takes off his glasses, it turns out he's hot.
Yeah.
And eventually he starts breakdancing.
Here's one trick that boys don't want you to know. And it's if you're at the library while they're working, if you rip off their glasses, tear up some cards and dance on a table with a hair that's very like 2005, like aughts, like I don't really know but how you call this, but the two-tone, like black on the bottom, platinum blonde on top.
It's called the Cascada.
Yeah, that's going to win over every man's heart.
It's called the soft serve twist.
Ladies, he's a 10. But he wears glasses and works at the library and doesn't want you to rip the cards out of the card catalog.
Almost unforgivable.
Ugh.
What do you do? What do you do?
you're like, your arms are my castle. Your heart is my sky.
It's like,
wipe away tears that I cry.
We didn't even get there yet. Let me get to this verse.
Those just sound like subject cards that used to be alphabetized, and Natalie Horler has just ripped them out of the card catalog and scattered them across the floor.
The not-so-secret secret of EDM is that even the vocal chorus is actually just a lead-up to the instrumental hook.
Yeah, they did, and they nailed the lyrics in this part.
They nailed the lyrics in this next section, which starts right here. Impeccable lyric writing.
Did you catch that, Annie? That was a sick burn from me, the hater.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched Forrest Gump, burn. I get it. Like, oh yeah, profound silence.
This is mostly the same melody as the vocal part of the chorus, right? Every time we touch, I get the feeling. Every time we kiss.
One thing that is pretty hip about this is that now the bass is on the offbeats, which I grudgingly admit is cool, Annie.
I love it because...
You like Krabby Patties, don't you, Squidward? You're like, oh, I begrudgingly admit as I'm dancing along to this awesome song that it's actually good.
I've been called out by Annie. I'm hating on this song. I'm overanalyzing it. I'm saying I don't like it, but my shoulders were shimmying during the instrumental break.
We just watched the plot of the Grinch movie.
Andrew's heart grew by 3 sizes. Yeah, it's an audio-only medium, but I'll testify to our listeners that when that hook dropped, Andrew's shoulders were moving, his head was bobbing, and I submit that as evidence.
Yeah.
to this musical court.
I go home. I'm putting on Bob Dylan. I'm putting on Phoebe Bridgers. I'm putting on Big Thief. Just, you know, walking around my apartment crying. But when the instrumental hits, every time we touch, it's undeniable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now we've arrived at the nadir of the song, this verse two. And everybody knows that in any pop song, but especially an EDM song, verse two is where you throw all the garbage, all the filler, because you didn't have more than one night to write the song. And here it is, the verse two of this garbage bin.
Your arms are my castle, your heart is my sky. They wipe away tears that I cry. The good and the bad times we've been through them all. You make me rise when I fall.
Okay, you're
Annie. Is this a perfect song?
Oh, yes.
Really, it's still your contention.
See,
you don't want to join me as a
hater?
The
way that you're, like, bothered by it makes it more perfect. Like, chill out and just, like, let the music wash over you, okay?
I'm like the librarian from the video. What's Emperor Palpatine say?
I'm, you know, like, reaching my hand to the sky, like, can you hear my heartbeat? So I can't let the song go, and you're over here getting worried.
What's Emperor Palpatine say when he's electrocuting Luke? Let the hate flow through you, Annie.
I think he says,
we will watch your career with great interest.
Have you ever heard the story of Darth Cascada the Wise?
Annie's now trolling you, saying this has all been a test to see whether you get triggered.
When are you opening the new Instagram account, Depths of Wookiepedia?
Wow.
I think you know, is that in the cards for you?
This verse too, your arms are my castle. What does that mean? Your heart is my sky.
You don't say that
it's
to your
getting
wife.
Worse. This is just a list of nouns. No, if I said that to my wife, who's really the only person in my life I'd even be allowed to try to say something like this to, she would think someone's impersonating me.
That's when you call 911. That's
she
when
would
you,
think, like, it, babe, this is like a body snatchers level. This she calls 911 to initiate the stroke protocol.
Babe, listen.
Yeah. What's your birthday?
Your heart is my
sky.
Who's
the president? Lie down. Elevate your feet.
This is like Men in Black. The bug is wearing the Edgar suit and impersonating Edgar. Your arms are my castle.
Suit. I like that.
Your heart is my...
Arms and your heart wipe away the tears that I cry.
I'm telling you, it's because the card catalog got de-alphabetized.
It also, I feel like if you handed a first or a second grader a piece of paper and you were like, yo, write a song that could be on the radio, this is what they would come up with.
Yes.
Your pelvis is my jackhammer.
Honestly, though, what I'm realizing is, like, you know, talk about recovered memories... Maybe I'm just so bothered by them tearing apart the card catalog because I truly was a guy who worked at a library. Maybe I, as a librarian, I'm like the librarian in the video who just can't stand for these lyrics.
Wow, that got a gasp out of Annie. She's shocked to learn that.
But if Natalie Horler came into the library I was working in 2001 and had mussed my hair and started dancing, would I have complained?
That would not fly. You would have said,
get him out of here!
You would have said,
oh, behave.
Well, I'm happy to say we've now heard every lyric in the song.
I mean, a castle doesn't wipe away tears. The sky doesn't wipe away tears. It doesn't make any sense. But as already discussed, I will grudgingly give you, the beat is unstoppable.
And that's all that matters.
And that's all that's left.
Your arms are my castle. Your heart is my sky. Your fingers are my ice cream cone. your eyes are my swimming pool.
If you're a DJ, you just skip this part, right?
Your hair is my pizza party. Your toes are my comfy nap.
Your elbows are
if
my
you're a
puppy
DJ,
dog.
You just loop the chorus, right? Like that's what.
No, you give people a break. You give you they have a chance to get back on the dance floor if they were taking a little break, but you don't make it to the end. You don't make it to the end of the song. You're going to fade to the next song.
I think Cascada was just banking. They were like, they'll just skip. Maybe they'll do the first verse just to have the kind of build. You have to have the build in EDM. Then they'll just loop the chorus. That is honestly though, that's an idea for a punch up. If we just took the chorus, made a longer version, 20-minute version,
You're like, oh yeah, I hate this song. Let's listen to it for 20 minutes. Oh, I actually just want to listen to it for 20 more minutes.
Yeah, I despise this song. I don't like it at all. Let's take the chorus and it's a beat that I can't stop shimmying to and just loop it. Loop it. And then let's go to the club together, guys.
Yeah, let's like play Cascada's second greatest song, in my opinion, Evacuate the Dance Floor, also flawless.
It seems like a sequel.
Let's put a pin in that and talk about why I hate that song later. Different date.
Okay, well, we've heard every word in the song, so now we're ready for a repeat. I'm just going to play this one out. We're back to the chorus. We've pulled out the bass here so that you can get kind of a little lift. This is like the hands in the sky.
Oh, you're right. They pulled the bass to kind of build back up.
They cut the bass out to create a new buildup
for the double chorus.
Snare hit. Feel the snare from the buildup.
Everyone
the snare
in this
on
room
the beat,
is dancing right now.
And you're like 3 bars away from the Jersey Shore fist pump right here.
To put the lyric "Reach for the Sky" in the EDM hit, just iconic.
Woo! There it is. Now the whole floor is shuddering as everyone bounces up and down on the beat.
Mm-hmm.
You measure this on the Richter scale. Now, this is pretty much the whole song. I think we're going to get one more chorus repeat. If you're a really dedicated DJ, you would hold on this long, but you don't make it to the end of the song.
This is the part that's just getting looped 20, 30 minutes.
In your version, Andrew?
Yeah, in the punched up version. You know, that version I hate.
Just never turn it off. This is the soundtrack to my life. I think this is an appropriate time to mention that I keep getting this podcast name mixed up with Knock Up the Jam. And I would definitely have a baby with this song. I would knock up this jam.
Is knock up the jam a known thing? Is that
no,
a known thing?
No, no. There's something in my brain where I you know, it's pump up the jam, which is a normal thing to say. And then at one point I messed up and I said knock up the jam. And then now I keep thinking
and
about
it. It just went in there and you couldn't get it out. And now you're just getting the song pregnant.
And now I'm like, maybe I should have a baby with Every Time We Touch.
Yeah, this is a song that I must have launched 1,000 romances. Mm-hmm. You know, just last week we were talking about Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud. That probably launched more romances.
More babies.
Just because more people, it was a bigger hit.
More people walking
song.
Down the aisle to that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a puppy love song. This is a walking into the club and a meet cute song.
Yeah. The end to me, that like big simple, can you play that again?
That last, yeah, here's the,
that
very,
to me,
here's the very end.
That screams to me, guys, we've got to be out of the studio by 9 p.m. It's like 8:55. Just press the cymbal button.
Yes. Paste the kick.
I kind of like it.
A combination of that and knowing, like, well, eventually this will just get looped at the club or get mixed into some other 142 beat per minute song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a lot of great inputs here. You want to do the 20-minute version, which I like. That's sort of the Stockholm Syndrome kidnapping version. You live with this song so long, it becomes your entire world, and you're forced to love it.
There's a Mad Libs version where we push it more into the Men in Black Edgar Suit version.
Yeah, just listing nouns.
Annie really gave us a blueprint for that earlier. You know, Pizza Party, Krabby Patty. There's the National Anthem version of this. But honestly, I'm scared. I'm scared of how powerful that would be. Would it make our nation too good?
Even more national pride could be dangerous. That's why I'm advocating for a pan-global anthem. Mm-hmm. Where Every Time We Touch becomes the song that is so vacuous that every country can get behind it.
I feel like this song could end climate change.
Huh.
100%.
I think that it's just one of those things that brings people together to think outside themselves.
Yeah, it is kind of like a perpetual motion song. And if we could find perpetual motion, I think we could all agree, you know, climate change is just, that's just out the window once you have perpetual motion.
Yeah, your arms are my tree and your heart are my chlorofluorocarbons.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break and we're going to come back with a punched up version of this song. But okay, we're back, and I want to tell you what we did here, which is we walked away from our first conversation just absolutely dumbstruck with one single idea that you shared, and we couldn't stop thinking about it, and that was that you want to get this song pregnant. And so we thought about, what would that mean? What would it mean if Depths of Wikipedia got this song pregnant? What's that baby song?
Oh my gosh.
And I think we've nailed it, which is, we took one of our favorite entries from your recent output, from a real event.
At first, I came at it, I think, kind of in my librarian brain. I was like, you know, how do I rhyme like every post ever from Depths of Wikipedia to make this a Depths of Wikipedia dance song? But it was just too dang complicated. So we kind of looked at your Twitter feed, we looked at your Instagram feed from like the last 6 weeks, and we realized that, as far as we can tell, there's one thing that you are more obsessed with than all other things on
Which
Wikipedia.
Is really saying something.
Whoa, okay. Let's hear it.
That you've gone in deep, and we just decided that the only way to improve this song and kind of memorialize an event that could be forgotten to the depths of time, but hopefully now will never be forgotten, thanks to Wikipedia, thanks to your efforts, and hopefully thanks to this song.
I think we can edit this out. I think you should ask Annie to do the 30-second description of this event for our listeners.
Annie, can you tell us what happened on the Kinzie Street Bridge in August of the year 2004?
Dave Matthews' band was on tour. They had a big tour bus, and they hadn't unloaded their septic tank in weeks. So you can imagine what it smelled like. They were driving over the Kinzie Street Bridge in Chicago, which is a graded bridge. And this genius bus driver is like, oh, I know, I'll just dump it as I'm going across the bridge. You may recall that in Chicago, there is a famous architecture sightseeing boat tour that you can take. I've taken it many times. They were going under the bridge at this exact moment that 800 pounds of Dave Matthews shit fell from the bus onto their heads. 80 people were drenched.
Oh.
Luckily, no one died, but people went to the hospital.
They could have died from shit suffocation.
Yeah, well, some people that are Dave Matthews Band haters might be like, oh, typical album drop, you know. That's some new material from Dave. But no, actually, Mayor Daley, Richard Daley, the mayor of Chicago at the time, in a press conference, they were reviewing tapes from a nearby gym, because also Dave Matthews Band's driver initially denied doing this. So there was a big investigation, and Mayor Daley said that what they did was absolutely unacceptable, but he added the caveat, a little both sides-ism here, but Dave Matthews Band is a great band.
Frankly, I'm dumbfounded at how off the cuff you did that, because I've been reading the Wikipedia article all week, and you nailed it.
Well, it's a big passion of mine. I've interviewed people who have been there. I'm working on a small project to better memorialize this event. I think it really has struck a chord. When you look at the Google Trends, like on the anniversary every year, it spikes, but especially this past year, really spiked. So I think maybe I'll have to drop something even better than 800 pounds of shit on the next anniversary.
Well, that was beautiful. We've got a little something for you that might be just as good as 800 pounds of shit.
Present to you the punched up version, the knocked up version of Every Time We Touch.
A bus driving over the bridge on Kinzie. A boat full of tourists sightseeing. Security tape I watch on endless loop. The bus sold the tourists with poop. Cause every time you watch the tank tape,
this is the sax bit from Ants Marching.
Oh, I know.
Dave Matthews' first hit.
Dave Matthews' first hit. Yeah.
Another good one is Don't Drink the Water.
Yes.
Interesting.
So this is the violin solo by Boyd Tinsley, whose bus dumped the poop.
Your arms are ants marching, your heart is a crash. They swap down the deck filled with crap. The good times and shit times, the space in between. I'm just glad no one died from pink eye. 'Cause every time your bus makes a stop, Dave Matthews, late night at a local pizzeria. Oh no, Chicago deep dish style puddle of cheese in a pile, recipe for diarrhea. 'Cause every time you stuff your face, Dave Matthews, on the VIP charcuterie plate, ate too many cornichons, got a jettison your unholy freight.
Kind of a Cotton Eye Joe feel here that makes me think it could be an even bigger hit than Every Time We Touch.
'Cause every time you gush, you mush, Dave Matthews, bam through the Kinsey Bridges, riveted grades. 100 strangers catch a brown surprise in their laps, half a ton of liquid waste.
I didn't think it could be done. I didn't think it could be done. I think that you should pitch the city of Chicago on dyeing the river brown every August 8th. And you should show them this song.
You know that they're into dyeing the river. They do it all the time. It's green on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's why I made the joke. Yeah.
I've seen the memorial up. And just if there's a little Bluetooth speaker.
Imagine if I came up with the idea of dyeing the Chicago River, and I didn't know they already did that on St. Patrick's Day. And you're like, wait, they actually already do that on St. Patrick's Day. Imagine if I was like, oh, are you serious?
I mean, are there any conspiracy theories out there that the bus driver was just like, look, we know they're already dying the river green. Like, who cares if I dump 800 pounds of shit?
He's like, I want my 15 minutes.
I will say, my favorite part of the Wikipedia article is at the very end of the whole article. There's just a little thing, uncited, because you can't cite this. And it's honestly goes back to the heart of the mystery of almost the Sumerian dog joke. It just says, presumably, the bus driver did not see the boat. It's like, you can't prove that, you can't disprove it. Even if in a primary source the bus driver said, like, I didn't see the boat, that could be a lie. Can you cite it? You could say the bus driver said he didn't see the boat, but we can presume that the bus driver did not see the boat and aim for it.
I think we set a new record on the show for number of poop jokes in a song. point of pride for me. I'm confident we can say that this song has been punched up, and it feels like it was knocked up. This brings us to having successfully punched up this greatest hit. This brings us to the segment of the show in which we share songs that we don't hate, and it's a segment I call... What is your walking
in music? Take that back, Evan. I always love the song Every Time We Touch by Cascada. Take that back.
You did it, Annie. You brought him around.
So 100%. Every week, Annie, we close.
How often do you get converted over the course of an episode?
This is the first time.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I am like an evangelical like pastor on a Sunday morning talk show right now. And I just convinced you to give me $200.
But honestly, with the Dave Matthews Band poop lyrics, that's the version I like.
Oh, I mean,
the version with the mush and the gush and the flush. And
I do like that one.
Yeah, the cornichons. So every week, Annie, we close the show with a segment called Walk in Music, where we talk about walking into a scenario of your choosing, could be real, could be fictional, with a song of your choosing.
The song I picked, I use as my jumping off point the idea that the Cascada song was the puppy love song where you might be gyrating on somebody in the club and you have that feeling of bliss of just meeting somebody, just getting into a relationship. And so the song I'm sharing with you is called Let's Go Out by Devin Sproul. And this is later in the relationship when you're more likely to stay at home and more likely to be an indoor person and have date night, microwaving a TV dinner. And every so often, you get that feeling that you're ready to go back out and hit the bars and do something fun. And this song absolutely puts me in my romantic spot.
Great song. Beautiful song. I don't want to talk over the song, Evan, but my jaw is on the floor a little bit here. I'll explain it after we get a little bit of the song.
There's nothing in the fridge, nothing in the cupboard. The jelly jar is empty, and I'm plumb sick of peanut butter. A groundhog ate the lettuce right out of the ground.
We live on a farm, I guess, in this song. I don't know.
Honey, let's go out. There's nothing on the TV. The picture looks like hell. We watched all of the movies up on
Evan, the reason I'm sure there's a jazz my jaw is on the floor right now is that I swear to God, this is the song I have picked for my walk-in music. In our like brother mind meld brain, we grew up together, we went to college together, we worked together for 13 years. We've had some almost mind meld moments. Last week in the Ed Sheeran episode, I stepped on your Macarena joke by bringing up the electric slide.
Ouch.
But I picked this.
You came up
song
with this
for my
independently.
Walk-in. Yes, but for a very different reason.
Which is what?
You're talking about puppy love growing into real love. I picked it because there's a line in the song. There it is. A stingy pour at Miller's is better than no pour at all. Any of you, have you read, do you know what happened at the band Miller's?
Mm-mm.
It's at the band,
bar Miller's?
It's at the band Miller's.
The bar?
There used to be a little trio that played on Wednesday nights in Charlottesville, Virginia, in the early 90s. Leroy Moore, the saxophone player. Boyd Tinsley, the violinist. And a drummer whose name I can't remember. And there was a bartender there, a young man from South Africa. This is real. Who brought in his little demos. And he said, will you listen to my demos? Would you like them? And they said, what if we made a band? And that band became...
The Dave Matthews Band.
I picked this from the Dave Matthews Band angle, the Charlottesville Millers.
Yes. I picked this song because I thought it was romantic.
Because
you're saying,
in love, and I picked it because I love Wikipedia, I love facts, and I happen to know I used to go to Millers when I lived in Charlottesville, that this is the very band where Dave Matthews Band formed.
This song mentions the bar where the Dave Matthews Band was formed.
Dave Matthews was a bartender at Millers and brought in his little demos to play to the jazz, like basically like the jazz part of... The Dave Matthews Band was already like a core.
I didn't even think of that. That's some real universe vibrations, mind meld.
Real Charlottesville vibe.
Wow. Okay.
That's just weird, honestly.
Wow.
What's your walk-in song, Annie?
Yeah, we passed.
And what does it have to do with the Dave Matthews Band?
There's no DMB tie-in. Wish there was. But I have really liked Sydney Gish for a long time. And the reason I was thinking about her is because I'm doing a Depths of Wikipedia live show in mere hours. And she is going to be there doing some songs. But this is a song that she wrote when she was in college. And it's kind of a little bit nonsensical, which I like. And so I think that I would play this song as I was walking into a beach house where I was with a bunch of friends that I had been with for maybe, let's say, a summer, and we all had a dog together, and the dog died, and we were leaving, and like the dog died, and everyone's pretty sad, but we also love each other, and like, you know, it's like we do have taste for whimsy, but we just don't really have any words to say, so we just kind of make up this. That's why I like the song, because it's like it's talking about these kind of weird things, and you don't quite know if it ties in, but you still are getting the vibe from it.
Almost like, say, a dealphabetized card catalog.
You know, it's kind of like a your arms are my castle, your heart is my sky situation.
Sydney Gish Mad Libs.
Yeah. So this is Sydney Gish, presumably dead arm.
Love this. This is great.
Just to start this off, this
this is the sad boy music I like. Now we're talking.
You hit it with a bullseye.
You were standing in a graveyard, a presumably dead arm popped through the grass. And who doesn't talk about that? Honey, you are nothing to me but alcohol and dopamine. I'm dying on the sofa and I barely know the time. But like an old man say, I reckon...
This is a great song to listen to after your group of dog guys.
Where a watch a Rolex and my brain's a toddler roller skating down a hill. I took a spill and ran into a tree and suffered minor injuries. Honey, you are nothing to me. I don't call people anything. Thought to be so sweet.
This song reminds me of The Depths of Wikipedia, Annie, because it's very sincere but very funny.
And it's a little bit sad.
Yeah, it's a great, great, great match for a Depths of Wikipedia live show. Do you have any shows coming up that people can see that aren't tonight?
Yes, I do. I have shows in Austin and in San Francisco in October. And you can check Depths of Wikipedia on any social media platform. There's probably going to be a link in bio with more specific details
for tour dates and stuff.
It is a truly great follow. Get out there and follow Depths of Wikipedia.
Well, you know that our audience is one of the smartest, most likable, well-read and erudite audiences out there.
So in the world.
This is
Haters are so smart.
Because haters are so smart. It's a home run. If you're listening to this show right now and not already following Depths of Wikipedia, get out there and do it on every platform, Twitter and Instagram especially, to get your extremely wholesome Wikipedia memes.
Annie, thank you so much for coming. We'll talk off mic later about Depths of Wikipedia. You know, maybe a Star Wars spinoff. You know,
no.
Get him out of here.
And it was just a real pleasure to have you and to talk about Every Time We Touch and the Dave Matthews Band incident for so much. Frankly, I just hope that my personal connections to the Dave Matthews Band are not soured when they hear this episode. Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it. And just hope and pray that my former coworker, Dave Matthews' sister, doesn't hear this.
What? How are we just now hearing about this?
Skip past it! Wow. Skip past it!
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam, punch it up.
That was a HeadGum Original.